Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Wah, 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 wah. Seeing if you're paying attention. That's all. Our reading from Acts this morning tells a most unusual story. It's a type of story that makes you both question it and remember it. It's a story that almost sounds like a young child might have been telling it, and the further on they get in the story, the more outlandish and unbelievable and endearing it sounds with each additional detail they add on. The stories I like to read are novels, crime fiction, murder mysteries, legal thriller, spy novels. Those are the kinds of stories I like to read. I'm currently reading a book called The Sixth Man. It's the fifth book in the King and Maxwell series written by David Baldacci. I have maybe 20 pages left, and I wanted to finish it last night, but I was too tired. So I got to wrap this up. I get home to finish it. Anyway, one of the things that happens in those stories, and any story from this genre, is they make a big deal about, while they're trying to solve mysteries or figure out who committed a murder, they always say there's no such thing as a coincidence. Any of those coincidences helps lead us to the possible perpetrator. And our story this morning is full of coincidences. It's a coincidence that Philip would be told by an angel of the Lord to go down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and that he went. It's a coincidence that an Ethiopian eunuch happened to be riding in his chariot along that same road at the same time. It's a coincidence that the Ethiopian eunuch happened to be reading from the prophet Isaiah. It's a coincidence that the Spirit told Philip to run up to the chariot. It's a coincidence that Philip asked the eunuch if he understood what he was reading. It's a coincidence that the eunuch didn't and invited Philip into the chariot to guide his reading. It's a coincidence that they began reading from Isaiah 53 together, a text which foreshadows the crucifixion of Jesus. It's a coincidence that Philip, although he, like Stephen, who we read about last Sunday, had been set aside to help manage the distribution of food, also seemed to know a great deal about what the prophet had said about Jesus, even though that wasn't the role he was given. It's a coincidence that they came along and found some water as they traveled along the road. It's a coincidence that Philip was willing to baptize the eunuch. It's a coincidence that the Spirit of the Lord showed up and snatched Philip away. It's a coincidence that when the eunuch didn't see Philip anyway, he went away rejoicing. Or was it a coincidence? Clearly, Philip was where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there, so that he might have this encounter with the eunuch who was on that road from Jerusalem to Gaza. If you read prior to where our reading begins, at the beginning of chapter 8, you learn that Philip was in Samaria when the chapter begins. And for those who haven't been to the Holy Land and aren't familiar with the geography, I looked it up. Samaria is north of Jerusalem by as much as 60 miles. And Gaza is south and a little bit west of Jerusalem, depending on which way you're looking, about 40 miles. So Philip didn't just happen to be in the neighborhood. He wasn't close by when he ran into the Ethiopian eunuch. He would have traveled nearly 100 miles at the prompting of the angel of the Lord. You see, we learn early in the story that Philip was obedient to God's leading, and he went where and when the Spirit led him. We read about this Ethiopian eunuch. He was in charge of the queen's entire treasury, and he had clearly had plenty of resources, being driven in the back of a chariot from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. It was much further from Jerusalem to Ethiopia than it was from Samaria to Gaza. And there he was, hanging out in the back of a chariot, being driven along the way. It allowed him to be able to read from the prophet Isaiah without being a distracted driver himself. Right?
Okay.
Anyway, the eunuch was reading aloud, which was not unusual at the time. They often read aloud, but what was unusual is that the eunuch would have a copy of Isaiah. You see, the Bible is the most published and distributed book in all of human history. But in the first century, only the religious leaders and a select few would have actually had access to a copy or scroll of the ancient texts. And there this eunuch is reading from Isaiah aloud. Coincidence? When Philip sees the chariot and hears the eunuch reading, the spirit appears and tells him to go over to this chariot and join it. And once again, Philip demonstrates his obedience to God's leading. And he runs up to the chariot and he begins a conversation with its occupant, asking, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Like, why would I be reading it if I didn't understand? Seems like a horrible icebreaker to me. If it were me, I probably would have run up, looked over. "Pardon me, would you happen to have any grape upon?" All right. I didn't give you guys credit. I told the 8:30 service I wasn't sure if you guys were gonna get that. They laughed at 8:30. But you did well. I mean, I just thought you guys were so much younger than the 8:30 crowd that you may not remember that. Anyway, coincidentally, the eunuch would have been, in my mind, would have been justified in being offended by Philip's question and simply blowing him off and rolling up the window of the chariot as if they had them. But instead, he responds with a question of his own. "How can I understand the scriptures unless somebody guides me?" And he invited Philip in to get into the chariot beside him. Can you imagine being invited to hop into a vehicle with another person after you've asked if they understood what they were reading? But clearly the Spirit was at work. It was at work in Philip, and it was at work in the eunuch. For you see, this is as much a story about how the Spirit moved Philip as it is a story about how the Spirit moved the eunuch, moving him from inquiring to coming to faith and being baptized. Both of these very different men responded to the Spirit's prodding, prompting, guidance, and encouragement. These two unlikely people were brought together through a series of unlikely events so that the eunuch might ask his final and most important question. As they came across an unlikely and improbable body of water in that arid region in which they were traveling, there shouldn't have been water there. And he asks, "What is preventing me from being baptized?" Today, we would respond to that question with questions of our own. If somebody says they want to be baptized, I ask, "Well, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Do you profess him as Messiah who gave his life through the crucifixion, who 3 days later was raised from the dead, defeating sin, death, and the devil? Do you believe in the promised bodily resurrection, the gift of everlasting life in the presence of the Creator? Would you mind signing here to indicate as such?" And then we do the even more difficult work of getting out our calendars and trying to find a date that works in the church calendar and in the calendars of every person they want to be present for the baptism. And then we end up looking 6-9 months down the road to schedule a baptism. Nothing like putting the Spirit on hold while we adhere to church process and policy, and while we navigate our busy schedules. I'm pretty sure Jesus railed against just this sort of thing when he argued with the Pharisees throughout his ministry. And yet we continue to pay more attention to church policy and doctrine than we do to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We rely more upon the organizational structure and systems within the church than we do the Holy Spirit who established the church at Pentecost. The answer to the question was as it should have been. There was absolutely nothing that was preventing that eunuch from being baptized right then. So he stopped the chariot. They went down into this body of water that coincidentally just showed up, and Philip baptized the eunuch. There were no classes or preparation or meeting with the pastor ahead of time. The eunuch was baptized, all because the Spirit led both of them together into this conversation and to this point of faith. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord appeared, much like it did at Jesus' baptism. But rather than proclaiming the eunuch as God being God's son in whom he is well pleased, the Spirit snatched Philip away. Apparently, Philip's work there was done. In the verse following, where we stopped reading this morning, we learn that Philip was whisked away to Azotus, a little village, where he continued to proclaim the good news to all the towns until he made his way to Caesarea. This is a most unusual story. It's a story about how the Spirit led Philip and sometimes literally moved him from one place to another. And it's a story about how the Spirit prepared that eunuch to receive and respond to the gospel. And this most unusual story also demonstrates that the gospel is not intended to be shared only within a small region, but that instead the gospel is intended to be shared far outside of Jerusalem, far outside of the ancient Near East. You see, Philip was sent to a man who couldn't have been more different than himself. He was not only from a different people, he was from a different continent. Yet the Spirit led him to this man, coincidentally, in order that he might hear and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. And that same Spirit, my friends, is still active among us today, drawing us, prodding us, dragging us, encouraging us into relationships, leading us to certain places and certain times, and giving us the words to say and the courage to say them, and hopefully the speed to catch up with the chariot, if that's what the case may be. Throughout Easter, we have been hearing the stories of how God's story has impacted the lives of people in this community. Is it time for you to tell your story? Is the Spirit prodding, leading, guiding, dragging, nudging, snatching you, and putting you in a place to tell your story? When the eunuch saw that Philip was no longer there, he went away rejoicing. May those we meet along the roads of our lives rejoice because of the time that we have spent together and because of the stories that we have shared. Amen.